The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host, and I've ushered my family out the door. We're ready to record the Picks Podcast, the final Picks Podcast of the regular season, the Tan and White Show. Pete Prisco joining us live from a professional-looking podcast studio that I'm sure will be jam-full of podcast hosts for years to come.
Football. This is a fantasy football studio.
Oh, okay, I don't watch HQ. I'm just kidding. You watch CBS Sports HQ.
The podcast studio that you'll be living in is right around the corner.
also here, RJ White and Kenny White. What's up, fellas?
How you doing?
Hey, good afternoon.
RJ, you don't sound so enthused today. What's the matter?
I don't or do?
No, RJ doesn't.
Oh. I'm fine. What do you want me to do? You want me to dance a jig because I'm number one on this podcast now? Is that what you want me to do?
You're not number one. You're not number one. You're still behind me percentage points.
Nuh-uh.
There you are.
RJ's on a heater. RJ's on a heater. He knows it.
Wasn't RJ in dead last like week two or week three?
Yeah. He's stumbling out of the gates.
He's a closer.
I went 2-3-1 last week. What did you go?
Me?
5-2, I think.
Yeah, I don't think you're ahead of me then.
I mean, I'm looking at the email.
Yeah, here, I'll tell you what. I'll give out the week 16 parlay was a loser. It hadn't hit since we started doing that stupid parlay contest. By the way, download, subscribe, rate, and review. Of course, RJ 5-2 last week. Pete 2-3-1. Kenny 4-4. And me 2-4. I continue to just trundle into the gutter. RJ has now passed Pete. It is official. He's up to 58.9% on the season. Pete at 58.5. RJ 63-44-3. I mean, absolutely on a complete tear right now. And when RJ gets going, he's so processed and he's so methodical in his process that it's not like he's like randomly picking games like some of us jabronis. So I highly recommend you go to sportsline.com/join, use promo code white. You will get your first month for $1. You will get all of RJ's week 17 picks plus all his picks through the course of the playoffs.
By the way, let me interrupt you.
Sure.
He got the Ravens under. He had no business getting.
Okay.
And because they were on the goal line and fumbled, and I didn't get the over in the Detroit Tampa game because of two missed.
That one's tough.
And
that
a missed field goal late in the game. So that's how close we are.
So let me ask you, does this record include that getting the Jets pick that all the Browns receivers get ruled out for COVID? Because I remember we took a game out because of COVID reasons earlier for Pete, and I'm pretty sure we kept this win in for the Jets. So I don't want to hear anything about getting lucky.
Yeah, you got lucky.
Yeah, but you got lucky with three extra points in the Browns game.
There's another week. They would have won that game anyways. There's another week to go. You know what I was going to do? If I was leading, I didn't even know if I was leading or not. I was not going to pick any games to see if you could catch me.
But now RJ.
You got to be Ted Williams. You got to step in you got to swing the bat.
Right? Oh, I'll swing the bat.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of Ted Williams.
That hit Kenny in the lip today.
Speaking of Ted Williams, we listened to the Inglourious Bastards Rewatchables podcast. Driving around for Christmas, and you know that scene where the bastard come out, and it's Donnie Dombrowskis or whatever, and he's like, Teddy effing ball game! And they actually, and my son heard it in the car, and for 12 hours, he did nothing but yell, Teddy effing ball game, except he was saying the F word. And it's like, we're like, no, this is very bad.
Teaching him the right way.
That's right. All right, let's get to the games, because Pete's got to get out of here kind of early.
because I ran late. Steelers at Browns, Browns minus 10, over under 42. The Browns need to win and they're in. This line is actually off the board right now because of Browns COVID issues, Pete, but we will take it at the Browns minus 10. What do you think?
I'm taking Mason Rudolph in the 10. You can't beat Mason Rudolph. Are you kidding me? This is a revenge game. That's what this is. It's the Mason Rudolph revenge game. Look, he stinks. He's not good, but 10 points. The Browns shouldn't be laying 10 points to the Steelers. And I know some guys are going to get held out of this, but this line ballooned way too much. I'm taking the Steelers.
If Browns can lose to the Jets, they can lose to Pittsburgh's second string. I don't know if they're going to lose this game, but that back door is going to be wide open. Cleveland's won once by double digits since week four, and that was against Colt McCoy a few weeks ago. I think Mason Rudolph can keep it close. So I would lean that way too, but it's not a best bet for me.
All in agreement. It is a best bet for me. I just can't see how this game could be 10. It's been overinflated because of the fact that Cleveland must win and Ben Roethlisberger's not playing, but Ben hasn't been that great as of late as well. So I don't think it's that big of a drop off. I've got a 3.5 point drop off to Mason Rudolph. Readjusted the game. I thought Pittsburgh should have been favored if everybody was playing. So I don't know how it can be adjusted 12 points. I make the game 4. I think that's about as high as you can make Cleveland. This is just way over adjusted for the playoffs.
All right. So let me ask you this. When the Big Ben news came out that he was definitely going to sit, or before it came out, I took the Browns minus 7. With the idea that I was going to come back and hedge at Pittsburgh plus 10 and give myself a window to hit both of them. And then the line has been taken off the board. It is up on William Hill at Cleveland minus 10. Would you ride out the minus 7 or do you think I'm just bang? Should I grab whatever comes back? What do you think?
Take the 10.
All right. So if it comes back up as 10, cause it might not come back up at 10 depending on who's ruled out for the Browns. I could be seriously screwed if it comes back like Cleveland minus 3.
Right. Yeah, you could be in bad shape. If you can get some plus 10 now, I always say that, you know, nobody can get the minus 7 ticket you have. Anybody can get plus 10.
Right.
So, but we all feel that it's overinflated. So yeah, I would grab more than 50% of your bet back just to stay safe that you're right. A bunch of guys don't get ruled out.
Well, here's hoping it pops back up on my site sometime in the next 48 hours or so. And it's not Cleveland minus 3. I would agree with you. I would take Pittsburgh plus 10. This is a must win situation for the Browns, but their butts are going to be puckered in this spot. I mean, they know what happens if they lose this game and the Colts win and they miss the playoffs after winning 10 games in Cleveland. That is a tough L to take. I don't think Pittsburgh's going to play everybody. Obviously, Mike Tomlin's going to give them rest. I don't think he's going to sit everybody for the whole game. I think you'll see enough talent out there for Pittsburgh that they give the Browns a fight. So let's put that as a best bet in the parlay to kick.
Glad you mentioned the pressure. How many years has it been? No playoffs. Ridiculous number of years. The pressure is on. There is a lot of pressure on the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah. I mean, this is like a Steven Jackson situation. Do you make love to pressure? We're about to find out, Cleveland. All right. Next game. Washington minus 1.5, Pete, against the Eagles, over under 43.5.
Look, Washington's a nice story, and they played really good defense, and I love what that defensive line can do. But I think this is a perfect spot for the Eagles to, get some revenge on a rival and find a way to win this game. I think the Eagles' offense has come alive with Jalen Hurts. They're playing much better. He can escape that pressure and get outside and make plays. So my lean, and it's one of my best bets, is to the Eagles. I just think they're going to win the game outright.
I would lean that direction too, Pete. I'm not sure Philly's motivation after getting knocked out in the playoffs a week ago, but I can't lay points with this Washington team. That offense isn't in sync now. I don't trust a hobbled Alex Smith or Taylor Heineke, which looks day in, you know, we're recording this on Wednesday, and it looks like I think he was getting the starter reps in practice, so maybe he's in there. But, you know, Philly's a solid teaser team if you want to move them up. I didn't do teasers this week just with all the uncertainty about motivation, so I stayed away. But if I was going to tease, they would probably be in there.
Yeah, I lean to Washington. I don't know what motivation Philadelphia has. It's been such an up and down year, and they're beat up. They've just lost so many players, and it's why they were so bad. A little bit more film on Hurts has gotten defenses to play better. Last week, Dallas just completely shut them down in the second half, and Washington's defense is far better. Far better. And I think that another factor that I love in any sport, and I've seen it happen, Dwayne Haskins, releasing him was like the best thing they ever could have done. It's such a wake-up call to everyone else on the roster. If you don't do things the right way, you know, they should have released him last week. They probably would have won the game. But I think everybody will step up. Everybody will play. They need Alex Smith to play because that's a big difference between him and Heineke. But I like him. I think their defense is going to keep them in this game. I think they're going to win the football game. I think they're going to win the division.
Yeah, I like Washington minus 1.5 here, and I would make it one of my best bets because I understand, you know, the concerns about Taylor Heineke, and I understand that Washington is a nice story and all that, but Jalen Hurts has fumbling issues, and he has, if you don't protect him, he's going to cough the ball up and turn the ball over. And I think that this Washington defense understands what's at stake, obviously. And they know that they're the ones who are going to have to put this team over the top. It's not going to be the offense, but they have Antonio Gibson back. He should be able to run if Fletcher Cox is missing. I can't imagine why they would play him if they're out of the playoffs. And you can throw on this team. Terry McLaurin should be back in this game. I like Washington minus 1.5. Clearly you prefer him getting points, but you know, 1.5 is fairly negligible. I agree with Kenny though. I think the under is a pretty good spot as well. Titans minus 7.5 at the Texans, over under 56.5, Pete.
I'm going to take the Texans here. And I know after what happened with the Bengals last week, you say, why? Cause it's a division game. I think they know each other very well. The Titans are playing consecutive road games. They were terrible last week at Green Bay. They can't rush the passer. Deshaun Watson might throw for 450 yards in this game. And if you're going to give me
you're a touchdown. You're not concerned about his hand at all?
No. Okay. If you give me more than a touchdown, I'm taking it. So I'm taking the Texans plus the 7.5.
And that Tennessee offense had 607 yards in the last meeting, and I don't see how they get less here because that Houston defense did not show up last week.
Over.
And they didn't show up, you know, I don't know if they show up here. So yeah, I wanted to love the Texans too, but I took them last week thinking that they would play hard and they did not, especially on defense. So I'm staying away from them. I would lean to the over even at 56.5. It just, I think Tennessee gets into the 40s here, even with that high total. And you're right. There's no pass rush. So Watson can do his end of the bargain to push this one over as well.
Yeah, Tennessee needs the game. They're going to play everybody. Over's the play for me. Both defenses really weak. And, yeah, we just saw Houston give up 37 to Cincinnati, who's had to struggle scoring. And now Tennessee off that Monday night game, I think, will be a little ready to go here. They'll be a little upset with themselves the way they played in that game. So no excuses. I think they end the season on a big win over Houston.
Yeah, and I think one other angle that you could potentially attack here, I agree. I have the over as a best bet. We don't do the more exotic stuff for our best bets, but I think that the Tennessee team total would be a nice spot to attack too, just because I agree with Pete. Like, I think the Texans will be able to score and Deshaun Watson will throw it around, and the Titans defense is abysmal and they have no pass rush. We talked about with Frank Stanfill on the DFS pod. Derrick Henry with the bring back of Deshaun Watson and Brandon Cooks is a really nice stack because that's how the game script's probably going to play out. Last year in this exact same spot with Tennessee needing a win to get into the playoffs, Derrick Henry carried the ball 32 times against Houston for 211 yards and 3 touchdowns. Their run defense stinks. It doesn't really matter that J.J. Watt is giving out motivational speeches. They still stink and he is still going to get loose. So I say you take the over in this spot. Do we want to make that a best bet?
Yeah, go ahead. I like the over too.
All right. Toss it in with the Steelers plus 10 as the second leg of the podcast parlay. It's coming together rather rapidly. Jets at Patriots, Patriots minus 3, over under 40, Pete.
The Jets are on a roll. Adam Gase has turned that team around. No, he hasn't turned them around, but they're playing better, and they're playing better because their offensive line is playing much better. I think they're going to be able to move the ball against the Patriots. I think they win this game outright. I think when you look at what the Patriots are right now as a team, they're dreadful on offense. One touchdown in the last 3 games. It's pathetic. Cam Newton, even when guys are open, and they're not open a lot, when they're open, he can't hit them. So I'm going to take the Jets here. I think they win this game outright.
Yeah, they just caught 2 teams looking ahead and got 2 wins off of it. They can't do that a third time in a row because there's nothing to look ahead toward except for the offseason. But that might actually apply here because New England looks ready for the season to be over against Buffalo. It's a short week now. I don't know if they show up here. I would lean to the Jets as well. That Jets D ranks 5th in yards per rush, 9th in DVOA. We know that's what the Patriots want to do is run the ball. And they actually have a better overall in DVOA than the Patriots defense. So the Jets having a better defense than the Patriots isn't something I thought I'd see this year. But that's what's happened. Buffalo had no problem throwing it on New England with Gilmore out. Darnold's not Allen, but he should be able to score some points. So I would lean to the Jets, but I don't love it. You know, one of these who knows who shows up type of motivation game. So I'm just going to stay away.
Well, I'm on Jets and under in the game. The New England offense has just been putrid. 24 points the last 3 weeks. And the Jets defense actually stepped up last week, played really well. Last couple of weeks, they played really well. Stopping Chubb last week was amazing. Didn't think they could do it, but they did. They are playing well. They've won 2 games. That's confidence. I didn't know if they could do it. I didn't think they could beat Cleveland, but they've got a lot of confidence right now. They've been beaten up by the Patriots forever. And New England, I said last week on Monday night, I thought, you know, I don't know who's going to, if they're going to show up. This team, they hear it from, you know, most players don't like Belichick. They don't, because he works everybody so damn hard. And it's one thing they all have in common. They all can't stand the man, because he works them so damn hard. So, you're not going to listen now. There's no playoffs. So why would they listen? They didn't even show up. You know, when the entire league was watching them play, they didn't even show up. I think we're going to see more of Jared Stidham, and that's even a drop from Cam Newton. So I think the Jets win this game straight up, and it stays under.
Wow. Yeah. Under seems like a good play, although neither defense is particularly good. That would be my only concern. I don't have a best bet here. I do have a question though. Pete, I'll let you answer really quickly. Would the Patriots trade their entire wide receiver room right now for Alabama's wide receiver room?
Oh, in a heartbeat.
Right? They would, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, lose your whole depth at wide receiver. But
Alabama was coming off an ACL surgery. So, but still, yes, they would.
Jacoby Myers wasn't even the best wide receiver at NC State, and he's supposed to be the best wide receiver in New England. I mean, that's a problem. All right. So anyway, Seahawks -5.5 at the 49ers, over under 46, Pete.
Yeah, and this is just one of those games where I feel the division rival is going to show up and play hard. They're not going to win the game, but I think the 49ers showed something last week against Arizona. They played tough. They played hard. They played physical. And I think they're going to hang around in this game. Seattle's defense has really stepped up the last, you know, four or five games since the Buffalo debacle. And that's, you know, always a challenge when you play the 49ers. But I think this will be a low-scoring game, and I think the 49ers will stay within the number, so I'll take San Francisco plus the points as one of my best bets.
Yeah, I didn't love the number, but I would lean to the under. That defense has stepped up. They've helped seven straight Seattle games go under. I think they'll keep having success against the San Francisco offense that's still dealing with injuries, although George Kittle is back. That's a huge difference for them, but other guys are hurt too. And that San Francisco defense is still sixth in DVOA, eighth in points per drive. Seahawks have gotten conservative on offense in the second half for some reason. I don't know why they open it up here. So, yeah, I would agree, low-scoring game. Number's probably a little too high, but I don't want to trust the 49ers with nothing to play for. So I will just lean to the under.
Yeah, I leaned to the under in the game as well. Made it 44, but it's 46 right now, so it didn't have that big of a difference. But I can see it. It's got written all over it, the way Seattle's been playing as of late, being more conservative and, you know, keeping the defense fresh. The defense has played better. And San Francisco, like Pete said, you know, they came to play in a division game last week against Arizona. They're going to come to play again this week. They're so well coached, and their defense will keep them in the football game. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a closer game, but my numbers just don't – they're just not far enough off to have a play.
I'll take a best bet on the under. I think it's a low-scoring game between two division rivals, and the Seahawks, as we mentioned, have changed completely how they're approaching it on offense. They were a let-Russ-cook team now, or they were a let-Russ-cook team to start the year. Now they are let Russ saute or let Russ microwave. I mean, they are not letting Russ cook. They've moved him out of the kitchen. He's a sous chef at this point behind the run game. And that's how they want it to be. That's what Pete Carroll likes. So I think they continue with that. And I just don't believe you're going to see the Niners open up this offense into something that will score a ton of points given what we have seen from them in the last few weeks. So I think under 46 is a nice play. The Seahawks have been under the total in like four or five games. They're just getting too much respect as a team that's going to score a bunch. I am curious to see what DK Metcalf does. He hadn't had a monster game in a while. And he had that 8-catch, 116-yard, 2-touchdown romp against the 49ers back in week 8. So curious to see if he can go off in this spot, even with Richard Sherman out there. Pete, you look like you want to say something else.
No. I'm waiting for you.
All right. Last one for Pete here. Raiders. By the way, who gets the number one seed, Pete?
What do you mean?
In the NFC.
The Packers.
You think so?
They're not losing to the Bears.
You're not worried about Mitsubishi Mitch?
No. Maserati Mitch.
Maserati Mitch. Raiders -2.5 at the Broncos.
By the way, before we get into this, I got one thing to say.
Sure.
Send me my damn $200, you loser.
I told you, I'll give it to you.
This guy, by the way, RJ, and I want to get RJ and Kenny on this. Brinson bet me two bets. He lost both of them, and he won't send me the $200.
I told Pete I'll either mail him $1 every day until I get to the $200, of course, minus postage. So it's really more like 130 consecutive days. Or I will pay him in person the next time I see him, because I feel like that's the Italian way. It's the respectful way to handle things.
You know what the real way is? I'll give you a Venmo. You send it to me. How about that?
Do you have Venmo?
No, I know what it is.
Are we taking bets on whether Brinson can do something that he needs to do by schedule 130 days in a row? Because I don't care what the odds are. I will take the no.
I'd rather pay Pete $500 than be like be required to mail a dollar.
He knew we had to go early on this podcast, and he went downstairs, and he was 5, 6, 7 minutes late.
That's unscrew. Anyway, I'll get you money. Raiders -2.5 at the Broncos. Over under 50.5, Pete.
A lot of points coming. And I was wrong last week. I thought there'd be a ton of points in the game, the Chargers-Broncos game, and it wasn't. It never happened. But this one's going to be different. These guys are playing for nothing. They're going to be loose. They're going to be free. They're going to throw the football around. This game is going over the total easily.
Yeah, I think the motivation factor, we question motivation. I think that shows up more on defense than offense because it's easier to get yards. You know, there's preseason games, people going up and down the field sometimes. So I don't know the motivation for both teams, so I didn't want to make a best bet here. I would definitely take the points with the home team. I don't know why the Raiders would lay 2.5 on the road in a game that means nothing. But Drew Lock could be playing for his future, and he gets to face the Las Vegas defense as 31st in points per drive. So I think Denver holds up their end of the bargain as far as scoring points more than the Raiders do. And they could win this game. I just don't know why you're laying points with the Raiders. So my lean would be to Denver, but with the motivation factor, I'm not playing it.
Yeah, I have no play on the game, but I agree. I would lean to Denver in the football game, and obviously, yeah, with nothing to play for whatsoever. Love all Raider games over. Their offense gets up and down the field. The defense can't stop anybody, but my numbers just didn't get it. I thought they made a good adjustment. Bronco totals, I think, are tough to go over, you know, 51 points.
I think you make the case that the Raiders are motivated to finish 500 or better. Like, wouldn't that improve? Were they 7-9 last year?
Who cares? They don't care about that.
But then John Gruden can say they've improved their record every year for 3 consecutive years.
Might care. The players don't care.
I'm just saying that I think Gruden might coach that way to score a ton of points. Just saying.
I think the coaches are always coaching to win. You can't dictate what the players are going to do. But oh, Andy Reid's coaching to win that game in the Chiefs, even if he's sitting all the starters. It's not like that. That makes a difference.
I'm just saying, I think Gruden will be motivated by that. And I think Derek Carr will be motivated to have another good game and to win a football game because Marcus Mariota is lingering. His big contract.
They're stretching.
Okay. You think nobody has chips on their shoulders. I disagree. I would take the over. I don't think the over is a bad bet. 50.5 is a lot. But the Broncos are down a ton of cornerbacks. The Raiders are winging the ball around. Wouldn't be surprised if this is a big Henry Ruggs game. Again, I think, they want to get him involved. And I actually think this could be a big Jerry Jeudy game. He had 15 targets last week, and that was after
drops.
Yeah, but they want to show like, hey, look, Jerry Jeudy looks good. Don't worry about, the fact that there were like 4 or 5 wide receivers who drafted after him who were much better. No big deal. And same thing with Ruggs. Ruggs versus Jeudy up and down the field. I like the over, but I'm not going to make it a best bet. I am, however, going to say goodbye to Pete.
You are.
And we're going to take a break. And when
Happy
we come
New
back.
Year to the world.
What's that?
Happy New Year to the world.
Oh yeah, well actually it is January 1st.
And by the way, what's the end time that you can say that to somebody?
Ooh, good question.
A week.
I'm a couple days, but we're in the same ballpark, RJ. If you saw somebody 3.5 weeks later and they said Happy New Year to you, would you think it was a little odd?
I would be doing the math. I'm like, is it Chinese New Year? Is there other calendar they're talking about? Because it's been a while.
Brinson's the kind of guy that when, because he's like that guy at the bar. Hey, babe. Hey, what's up, everybody? Hey, there's my buddy over there. So if he hadn't seen a guy in 3.5 weeks, Brinson's going to say Happy New Year to him.
I would say like January 15th. If if it's a work situation, maybe January 10th.
Any situation, life, period, work, anything.
Hey, all right, Pete, I have 2 questions for you before we let you go. One. What is your New Year's resolution? And 2, you excited that now that the calendar has turned to 2021, that all the world's problems are solved?
To get my fat ass in shape. B, yes, I'm glad it's 2021 because 2020 was awful.
See, Brady and I were talking about it, and we're like, don't you think it's a little weird that everybody's like, oh, as soon as January 1st gets here, everything will be fine.
Nothing's changing. It's all it's the same. It life just runs every year into the next. But resolution, when you can make a resolution here in this business on January 1st to lose weight because it's fat ball season's over almost.
That's right. All right, let's take a break. When we come back,
I'm going to go find to eat right now.
Go get yourself a Snickers. All right, Pete, we'll see. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Make sure to watch Pete on CBS Sports HQ. We'll be right back after the break.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
All right, we're back. Pete's gone. Whew. Man, get the ham hocks out of the way. You get to eat the rest of the meal on New Year's Day. Do you guys do the New Year traditional New Year's Day type of meal?
New Year's Day, no.
Oh, really? I do collards, black eyed peas, and like some sort of pork product.
Gotta have black eyed peas, pork and sauerkraut.
Oh, there you go. That's pretty good.
Who can get back into the mood of cooking a bunch after Christmas? I mean, Christmas is such an ordeal that, you want to swing back around and do another one. Like, no, it's just another day.
Anyway, Cardinals at the Rams. Cardinals hope they'll be cooking against Los Angeles in this game because Kyler Murray is going to play. Jared Goff will not. John Walford in for him. Arizona -2, Kenny, over under 41 in this spot.
Yeah, I like the under. Big game for both teams. It's a playoff game. No Goff, obviously, in the lineup. We're going to have John Wolford at quarterback. Defensively, Rams -5, DVOA. Arizona right now -10, a defensive DVOA. Their offense -20. I think this number is just a little bit too high. I think it's a really big game, as I said. So yeah, I'm under the 41.
I want to say like two of the last three games for each of those teams, I think stayed in the 30s. So even at full strength, you know, those games weren't getting to 40. So that could be a solid play. I would lean that way. This is actually my first best bet of the podcast. It was funny. Pete talked about if I was leading, I wouldn't make any best bets so I could stay ahead and make you catch me. So when I didn't have any best bets during his games, I thought he was going to say something, but I just happened to, you know, not sync up with any of his games. So I like the Arizona here at -2. Murray says he's playing. I believe him. I don't know that he's going to be fully healthy. You know, but he wasn't 100% that first game in Arizona, scored 28. I think they'll be able to get to 20 here. And that Rams offense has not looked good since that Arizona game. Now they're playing an AAF quarterback in a much must-win situation. I think Arizona's defense shows up, dictates what happens here, and Arizona wins pretty solidly, you know, by, you know, touchdown at least, and comes through for me.
I mean, I'm surprised this line is 2. I thought it would be like 6. What am I missing here? Is it a trap game where the Cardinals won't be able to produce? Is it going to shoot up now that Kyler, like once Kyler's officially in? I don't understand it. John Walford has never thrown an NFL pass and he's on short notice. They're not going to have Cooper Kupp, who was put on the COVID list. They don't have Cam Akers. They don't have Daryl Henderson. So it's Malcolm Brown and John Walford against Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. I get that Jalen Ramsey can lock down Hopkins to a degree, but they have other weapons and presumably Kyler will be able to run some. What am I missing here?
It might get there. We just got the Kyler news. You know, we're recording, like I said earlier, on Wednesday, and we just got that Kyler news. It was hovering around Pick'em, maybe Rams -1, thinking that Kyler could be out. But now that we know he's in, it's up to -2, and it could keep moving. Once it gets over 3, I don't love it as a best bet.
Sure.
Once you need to, you know, lay 3.5 with the hook, but if you can still get it under 3 when you're listening to this on Friday or Thursday, whenever you're listening, I would grab the Cardinals.
Okay.
I think it'll go up. I made it 4, but I really wasn't interested in laying points in this game with Arizona. Just the fact that I'm still not sold on Cliff Kingsbury. He couldn't win at Texas Tech and probably should have never had this job. They're 2-7 ATS down the stretch. I know that, you know, Murray wasn't 100%, but I don't trust him. I think Sean McVay's a way better head coach, and I think he'll figure something out to keep his team in the game. That's why I really like it under, because I think it's going to be a tight, you know, a punting battle.
Yeah, I think the under is a good call too. And one more reason to get behind the under, if you like it, is that so this game will be taking place at the same time as Chicago and Green Bay. If Green Bay has a double-digit lead, there's a pretty good chance that Sean McVay, I don't know if he's going to have the scoreboard up in the game. Like some coaches do different stuff with that, but he's definitely going to check the score at halftime. And if the Rams or the Cardinals are keeping it close at halftime and we have a situation where the Packers have a big lead on the Bears, Sean McVay is going to turtle up that offense and just pound the ball with Malcolm Brown over and over and over again and just punt away. Cause if the Bears lose, the Rams are in no matter what. So I mean, there's no motivation for Sean McVay if the Packers have a big lead to try and go crazy and win this game. That's another reason why I think you could back the Cardinals or even look, check that Packers Bears score at halftime because Sean McVay is going to do it. And if you bet the Cardinals at the second half, if the Packers are blowing out the Bears, just a thought.
I disagree with that. Well, I mean, if you, whatever the score is in the first half, the other team can match it in the second half. You're talking about halfway through the game. So sure, I don't think you can just assume that you're good to go and check the box. Cause what if the disaster happens and the Bears score four touchdowns in the second half? And all of a sudden you thought you were playing it safe and you're out of the playoffs. So okay. I don't know that he's going to change anything. Maybe he eyes it in the fourth quarter and assistant tells him and you can think about it there, but I wouldn't put too much stock into what happens at halftime.
I mean, if you were head coach, wouldn't you be would you be asking for updates on that game? I would.
No, I'd be worried about my game.
I would be asking for, give me an update every 5 minutes.
It's hard enough to win one game in the NFL each week. You know, I'm not going to try to win two and worry about somebody else's game.
You're just checking a score. It's another factor that goes in. Be like, don't tell me you handle the defense. Don't tell me about defense. Tell me the score of the Bears game. I mean, all right. I like the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals and the under are fine. It's up to 3 at William Hill, by the way, now. So you're fine with 3. Anything more, you don't want it?
Yeah, once it gets to 3.5, it's not a best bet anymore. Yeah.
It's -3, -105. So in theory, if you were willing to pay juice, you could get it to 2.5. Dolphins at the Bills. Bills -2, over under 44.5. We have seen Sean McDermott be rather coy about how he intends to handle his starters. Traditionally speaking, I feel like he rests guys, and that's sort of the Andy Reid way. That's where he comes from. Replaced Jim Jackson there as defensive coordinator before joining up with Ron Rivera. So certainly that could lead you to think the Dolphins are a good bet here, Kenny.
I like the Dolphins at under just for the fact there's no way. How can you play anybody in this football game? You just can't do it. They coming off a great game against New England. And even if they did, I think it's a letdown. They hammered the Patriots. They're the first team in 20 years to beat the Patriots in both games in the regular season, which was an amazing feat. So they've been playing great, but how many weeks in a row can you play that great? I really, you know, they're playing their A game every week and they are getting better defensively, but I have a feeling they're going to rest quite a few guys. Miami needs the game. And their defense is good. Miami's defense is good to keep this game low scoring. I'm taking 2 with the team that needs to win the game, and I just don't think Allen plays.
Yeah, the market doesn't expect Buffalo to go all out either. They expect they're going to rest their players. Otherwise, this line would be 7, you know, at least with how the Buffalo's been playing right now. I can't see the Buffalo offense scoring a bunch with Barkley at quarterback against a pretty good defense. But I think their defense will play well. It's played well in the second half. Miami's offense has been inconsistent. I think it's probably a good underplay if you can get it around 40. We have a 44.5 is what we see in the market right now, but I know it's not available everywhere. So if it gets to Friday and you guys are listening to this and it's down to 41, you know, jump off of that under. But I think 44.5, if you're getting around that number, it's a pretty decent underplay, but I'm going to stay away.
Yeah, I don't mind the under in that spot either. And I would lean towards the Dolphins, I think, as well. The one thing I would be a little cautious of is that Buffalo, they've got an exception going where they're going to be allowed to have fans in their home playoff games. And they're going to test them beforehand. There's going to be a limited number, but it's like through like government orders, they're going to give them that exception. And I think that might matter to the Bills to have those 2 home playoff games. You know, you generate some more revenue too, not like football teams need it, but you know, you get those rowdy fans in there in Buffalo. I think, you know, for the team that won the AFC East for the first time in forever, I don't know. I think that kind of matters to him. So I could see a situation where Josh Allen plays a half, but one thing, you know, Stephon Diggs, who's nursing sort of a foot injury and has battled through it and played really well. They also think they want him to be the league leader in receiving yards, this year after trading for him. But then also Cole Beasley got hurt in the fourth quarter of that Patriots game in a meaningless blowout. And so that may have Sean McDermott a little bit spooked about bringing guys back. So I think this is one that you almost have to watch the injury report for before you really get in on it. And it's, you know, if it moves 3 points, it's still, you know, we're talking about Dolphins -1. I mean, you're kind of expecting them to win, not to lose by 1 or 2 when you're taking them. So probably stay away from me, but I could see Dolphins at the under as bets
there. I just read it, and when you said that, I thought it's, you know, it said the Bills are either number 2 or 3 seed. So I'm thinking they got a home game no matter what, but you're right. If they're the 3 seed, they play on the road the second week. Yep. So yeah, they want that 2 seed. I think, you know, it completely changes my thought process about the game. Maybe not the under, but I'm not as happy about the Dolphins in this situation. They've struggled too much on offense.
Oh, and 50% chance of snow up in Buffalo, which I don't know if you know, it is not a typical forecast for Miami.
And they usually get wind. Yeah. No, you're right.
You can take the Dolphins off if you want to, Kenny.
Yeah, no, take the Dolphins off. I didn't think the Bills had anything to play for. I think Josh Allen could play in this game. If I'm the Bills, I want to win. I want to be the 2 seed. I want to play the 7 seed, and then I want to play at home the next week.
Well, and let's not forget too, RJ, that if you're the 2 seed, Do you know what that guarantees you? No Chiefs until the AFC title game. That means you don't have to go to Kansas City in the divisional round.
Well, a couple of things. If they're the 3 seed, they might get a home playoff game in the next round also, because nobody thinks that Pittsburgh is going to just roll over whoever they play. They were been MIA for 4 weeks until the second half of that last game. So I don't know that Pittsburgh just going to come and blow out. These are all good wildcard teams too. We can have an 11-5 team left out of the playoff. So it's not like Pittsburgh just, whoever's the 2 seed or 3 seed is going to just play a pushover. So I think if Buffalo's the 3 seed, they still have a chance at that home game. And yeah, you don't want to be the 4 seed so you can avoid the Chiefs, but the Chiefs haven't looked that great either, and they're going to be off of 2 weeks rest. You don't know how rusty they're going to be. They've had to come back in several games. They're close in every game. They don't look like a juggernaut that's going to roll through the playoffs. Now, they're still the number one team. I'm not going to sit here as a Bills fan and say we're definitely going to the Super Bowl because the Chiefs suck or anything, but they look more vulnerable than they have in the first half or than they did last year. And remember, last year in the playoffs, they had to come back against a lot of teams. So if you have to play the Chiefs in the divisional round instead of the conference championship, you're going to have to play them one way or the other. You know, so, I mean, order it the way you want. You know your path is going through the Chiefs at some point. So if you have to do it in that divisional round, fine, you know, but I think Buffalo, this team just playing so well, just focus on what you can control and get everybody rested. And I just think it's such a big benefit to have that rest going into the playoffs here.
Yeah. I would push back on that a little bit by just saying that the longer you wait to play the Chiefs, the more, like, the better chance you don't have to play the Chiefs. You know, somebody else could upend the Chiefs and all of a sudden you host the AFC championship game. So I think I agree with you. I think the rest is really important. I don't think that they'll press these guys too hard, but I think we could see Josh Allen and the starters, guys who are healthy, play for the first half. Probably not going to win the MVP or anything. You know, I think it would take a monster effort to up in and Aaron Rodgers falling apart, but I don't know. I think there's a little motivation there to get the 2 seed.
Anyway. And you obviously would love to be 2 instead of 4. I'm just saying you weigh that against the benefit of having rest and making sure
you can't fall to 4. They can only fall to 3, right?
Well, yeah, now that they beat New England, maybe they can only fall to 3. I was probably thinking
they can only fall. Yeah, they're either, that's why I was off, because when I read they're either number 2 or 3, they can't fall any further. I thought, well, they don't need this game, but they may need this game. They really might. And it's a must win for Miami. So. A little bit of pressure with them.
I mean,
you're right. Miami usually goes to Buffalo early in the year. So they, you know, the NFL lets Miami avoid that snow usually.
Yeah. So if Miami wins and Pittsburgh beats the Browns, the Steelers would be the 2 seed and the Bills would be the 3 seed. But no matter what Tennessee does, they cannot, because the best they can do is 11-5. The worst Buffalo could be is 12-4.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the Bills have the tiebreaker over the Steelers. So if they both lose, they're in good shape. So there may be a little bit of scoreboard watching there too, if they decide to play Josh Allen. I don't think Josh Allen's nuclear hot right now. Do you need to rest Josh Allen?
You need to make sure he doesn't get hurt.
Sure, but who's hurting that guy?
Yeah, anybody. Anybody can get hurt at any time. Say that about Cam Newton and then how many years, you know, he missed all year.
I know. I agree. It's also one of those where if they decide to play Josh Allen and he gets hurt, there's going to be some blowback, to say the least, from fans, the media, ownership, everybody.
I should have been celebrating that New England win when Bills are thrashing New England. This is a new dawn, a new day. This is everything I want to see. All I'm thinking is take these guys out of the game. Do not let anybody get hurt. That's all I care about is January right now.
Cole Beasley's he's an important player. They let him get hurt. Vikings -7 at the Lions, over under 54.5. Wish we were 44.5. Kenny, what do you think about this game between two NFC North also Rams?
Well, I don't think Matthew Stafford plays, obviously, because of the injuries and that he's gone through and he's banged up. But Minnesota now completely out. Dalvin Cook, our condolences to the family, losing his father unexpectedly. Is that what it was?
I didn't see that.
Yeah. Oh, man, yeah. His father passed away unexpectedly. So it's kind of damaging news and it's, so unexpected. I just can't see Minnesota showing up in this game. Even though it's a division game, the defense has been bad all year. They seem to continue to get worse each week. Even with a backup quarterback, Chase Daniels, I think Daniels can do something here. I know Detroit looked just so bad, but how can Minnesota be 7 over anybody? I really don't think they can be 7 over anybody right now. This is just a play that two division teams going to go head to head. And I think Detroit plays the game harder than Minnesota does this weekend. That's just my hunch on that.
And Minnesota's defense has been terrible overall, but they're solid versus the pass, especially in the second half. They really couldn't get the personnel that they wanted on the field for the first 5 or 6 weeks. And then they suffered another injury. It just seems like everybody gets hurt, but they've had little stretches where they played pretty decently against the pass and Zimmer's gotten coached up. And if they'd played decently here, and Detroit isn't a good rush offense, that I don't know that Detroit scores a ton of points with their backup quarterback, especially if Stafford could go out there and play, but he might not play the full 60 minutes. And if he doesn't play the full 60 minutes, I don't know how this game gets to 55. So my best bet's the under 54.5. I think the Minnesota offense can score a bunch of points if it wants, but second half of a blowout, I mean, no motivation. I think that'll slow down the scoring. Could be a 34-10 game, could be that type of thing. Or it could be, you know, Lions competitive and it's a low scoring game. Either way, I think it's going under.
Yeah, I would lean towards both of the sides you guys have. I don't have a best bet on this one. I don't want to mess with it. No Dalvin Cook. It is awful news. I hadn't heard that until just now. And why would you put Matthew Stafford out there? I mean, there's a decent chance they're trading him this offseason or, you know, finding him a new home one way or the other. Don't put him out there, let him get hurt. He fails his physical and you can't do that. So you roll out the backups. Kenny Golladay won't play again for the 10th straight week because he's ready to test free agency. There's, you know, this Lions team is playing hard for Daryl Bevell, but they're just overmatched. And we saw that against Tampa Bay. So I don't love any side of this game whatsoever. Chargers.
I didn't check to see. Remember that Tampa Bay game? They had four or five coaches that were out because of COVID. They were not at the stadium and they were using a rookie offensive coordinator who'd never been a coordinator to call plays and a rookie defensive coordinator never called plays. So they were completely overmatched in that one because of that fact.
In hindsight, the Bucs were a really good bet.
Yes.
Yeah. Like in hindsight, the Bucs were an absolute smash. Chargers at the Chiefs. Chargers -3.5 over under 44. Kenny, we will not have Andy Reid announce Patrick Mahomes in this game.
He has announced that?
He has said that no Patrick Mahomes in this game.
Yeah. Why would he play any stars? I went and took 15 points off their offense, players who I thought would be out. Well, I got 9 points for Mahomes. I have a point for Tyreek Hill. Sammy Watno, Watkins, Fisher. I just don't think they play any of their best players, even their offensive linemen. So, they could care less about this football game. What a big difference in the line. Do you ever think you would see, the Chiefs as an underdog in a situation like this? But I like it under because I don't think the Chiefs do a lot of scoring. And I think their defense, if anything, the players on the defensive side, I don't see any big drop-offs. They don't have any star defensive players that make a difference other than Chris Jones. So and Tyrann Mathieu. That's their two guys. Everybody else, I've got decent backups at almost every position but those two. So I think their second string defense is good enough to play with the Chargers.
And that's the key. You can't bench everyone, just the makeup of an NFL roster. You can bench your starting quarterback. Everyone else on the team is typically going in and out and playing some snaps. You know, maybe not the offensive line, but you people are going in and out here. So this line is obviously hugely adjusted. If Chiefs were playing all out in this game, they'd be double-digit favorites, everybody pretty much assumes. And I think it's just over-adjusted. I don't see how you make Chargers 3.5 at the Chiefs. I don't care who they're playing. I don't care if they're playing the Chiefs backups. The Chargers are not a good team. They've won twice by more than 3 all year, and you just can't assume they're going to go in and roll over the Chiefs. So can't rest everyone. Like I said, Andy Reid will be still coaching to win the game. It's not like he's coaching to lose this game. You know, it doesn't make any difference to him, you know, whether he tries hard in this game or not. So he's going to try hard. And Anthony Lynn on the other side, close game situations at the end. Got to love the Chiefs in that spot. Chad Henne is an experienced quarterback, and this is going to be the best offense he's played. And I know he's never been a good quarterback, you know, as far as what he's put on the field in Miami and Jacksonville, but playing with Andy Reid is something different. So I don't think the Chiefs can go out and win this game. I don't think they're necessarily going to be playing to lose, even if they're resting players. And 3.5 is just too many points. I love that, getting that hook. So best bet for the Chiefs for me.
Oh, wow. Best bet. You love to see it. I mean, week 17 is really fun to like think about and all the permutations, but betting week 17 is really hard. I mean, you don't know how things are going to go. I do think one thing that's being undersold here, and I would lean towards the Chiefs because you're getting points with, again, an Andy Reid coach team that will be looking to toot. Like, you want to get some guys some reps, you know, like a Byron Pringle or a Mecole Hardman. I mean, those guys are talented NFL players who could contribute to most NFL teams. They're just buried on an insanely deep depth chart for the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, those guys could be out there catching a bunch of passes from Chad Henne. And they could, Andy Reid's going to work out some things schematically that he wants to see these guys do. He's, you know, you want to get Mecole Hardman, a guy like that, comfortable and confident going into the playoffs. So I, you know, maybe he wants to just put up a number for Travis Kelce that breaks the record, for catches and yardage by a tight end in NFL history. I mean, the Chargers are going to be missing potentially Keenan Allen. I think Austin Eckler might be a little banged up. Like, why would the Chargers play anybody? You know, you got nothing to lose here. I mean, Anthony Lynn wants to pad his stats and help, you know, keep his job. But if Keenan Allen's hurt, you don't play him here and risk further injury. So I think that it's probably one of those it's an overcalculation based on Patrick Mahomes being pulled out of the game. I think under is probably a pretty good play too, because the Chargers love to screw things up in the red zone. All right, we're going to take one more break. Say goodbye to Kenny. Kenny, happy new year.
Yes, happy new year, guys.
See ya. We'll be back after the break.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBSSports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBSSports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
All right, home stretch for the regular season. RJ White, the nuclear RJ White, hanging around till the end.
I'm so hot they had to get away from me. Everybody left.
I do like the idea that you walked Pete down. How many? Let's see. So Pete's going to close with 6 best bets. You each have 6. Is there any overlap on those?
No, I actually had none when we had him on. That's what I made a comment after I came back from break that I thought he was going to say something, because every time I was like, I lean. I thought he was going to think that I just went 0 and you have to come past me. But it just happened to line up where I liked all the games that he didn't.
Interesting. Well, I would rather ride you than Pete at this point.
And I did like, I mean, you heard me when I was talking earlier. I was almost exclusively on the sides that he was on. I would have made a pick the way that he did if I made it a best bet. I just had questions about motivation and other things that I stayed away from.
Do you think there's a bigger edge in week 17, or is it tougher to handicap?
It can be tougher. I think it's harder for the books to make a line that they can be confident in. So sure. If you do have a good read, you can be good. I always worry about that playing in the super contest. And if I'm in the mix for the money, sure. Like how do you do that at the end of the year? But I happen to have some pretty good weeks. You know, I've gone 4-1. I think the couple of times that I was in the running for money. So I was able to cash both those years. So yeah, you can do it, but I'm not confident that I can do that every single year. It's just, it's a pretty hit or miss situation here.
Do you prefer to play with team? Do you prefer to make bets on teams that have something to play for or have nothing to play for?
It depends. We're going to talk about here in this set. There's a team that has nothing to play for, but I don't think motivation is a detriment to them. I think they're going to show up and play really hard. Just because
the Jaguars.
No, it's not the Jaguars. Okay. We'll get to it in a minute though.
All right. Interesting. Actually, never mind. I see who it is. Okay. So Cowboys at the Giants. Both of these teams do have something to play for. If the winner of this game, we'll get to watch the Washington football team and Taylor Heineke with bated breath for three and a half hours on Sunday night, because if Philadelphia is able to pull off the upset over Washington, the winner of Cowboys Giants would win the NFC East and would go to the playoffs. The Cowboys, I think it opens maybe a pick'em or Cowboys -1, and it's moved all the way up to Cowboys -3. Not exactly a robust total here at 44.5, but the Cowboys did get to avoid a terrifying primetime game for Andy Dalton.
Yeah, look at headline was Giants -2.5. So we've seen this huge swing because the Giants don't look good and the Cowboys coming off a game that looked awesome. But I think Dallas is overvalued after a few good showings on the scoreboard. That defense is still giving up a ton of yards. They've been helped a lot by turnovers, and the Giants have had an issue in the past with turnovers. Daniel Jones, everybody knows, you don't have to overstate that case. But they've actually protected the ball lately, aside from fumble fest against the Cardinals, where I think they fumbled three times as a team. He might have fumbled twice and lost one. And that's why they lost that game. But defense is playing pretty solid. Daniel Jones should be healthier in a second week back from injury. And because we're getting great value on that look ahead and the stocks are so, you know, high and low, separated in these two teams, I think there's good value on the Giants, especially if you're getting it at three. I think there's a good chance to push, if not get a Giants win here. So best bet for me is Giants plus three.
Okay, I'm going to be against you here. I'm going to take the Cowboys minus three. I'm going to be the donkey that lays it with Andy Dalton. I just think the Cowboys offense is kind of cooking right now. And I don't know that James Bradbury can, the thing about the Cowboys offense is they really do have three legitimate number one wide receivers. Maybe Michael Gallup's a 1B or even a 2A, whatever you want to call him, but CeeDee Lamb and I think it's probably this time next year they won't have Amari Cooper because there's an out in his contract. Lamb is so good and Gallup continues to produce that they may decide to go in a different direction and save some salary cap space there. But for right now, they got him. Maybe Bradbury covers Amari Cooper. That leaves Gallup and Andy Dalton have a fantastic rapport. They hooked up for a ton of passes last week. And the one thing that concerns me a little bit is that the Cowboys struggled when Fletcher Cox was in there. And once he left, the offense really opened up and the Giants have similar interior pass rushers there. So if Dallas cannot protect on the interior against Dexter Lawrence, Leonard Williams, you know, that could be problematic because those guys could really create issues for Andy Dalton. So I'm a little worried about that, but I'll lay the lumber with the Cowboys.
Makes me feel even better about my pick. Hashtag fade Brinson season.
It really is. Maybe I hate that pick. I don't know. I just added it the last second. Saints at the Panthers. Saints minus 6.5. Oh boy, is this stinky. Panthers, at home, obviously over under 47.5. Given that it is currently cold as hail here in, North Carolina, I'm curious to see what the weather portends for Sunday. It's high as 66. Still not exactly warm and looks like it's going to rain all weekend. So this should be a sloppy, nasty game for the Saints and the Panthers.
I have a best bet on the Panthers. New Orleans had their fun against an awful Minnesota rush defense. The Carolina defense has been much better in the second half of the season. They're not great. They're still young, but they're getting better. We knew it would take time. And that New Orleans offense, obviously missing Michael Thomas, and that ridiculous rush total isn't repeatable. You're not going to have another game like that here. And Matt Rhule is the motivation game I'm talking about. He has Carolina playing well overall. They're motivated. They came out playing to win last week. They've had nothing to play for weeks. They gave Green Bay trouble, and they had two other close losses, and then they got that win last week. So I'm not worried on the Carolina motivation, and they know Rhule's going to be there. They know they're building something. You want to prove that you can be around, you know, next year to be part of the solution, you know, after they've had so many problems. So I think they're building a winner. I love Panthers to come out and keep it close against the Saints. This would be a signature win for them if they can go out on top here. So I think you're going to get the Panthers best here. And too many points for the Saints on the road. Love Panthers plus 6.5.
I've been to these late season games in Charlotte with nothing to play for in an empty stadium. It is cold and miserable in there. And it's not like it's, you know, Buffalo cold or anything like that. But when the cold rain starts coming in North Carolina here, I mean, it's just, it's the polar opposite of being in the Superdome and being nice and cozy and having a track to run on. I agree with you that the defense is playing a lot better. You know, Jeremy Chinn, Derek Brown, Yetagross Matos. I mean, these guys are making their stamp as legitimate, like blue chip stars for a future defense that we think could be pretty good under Phil Snow. And Carolina's played hard. I don't think they'll give up here. I wouldn't be surprised either if Sean Payton does some scoreboard watching. And I mean, Drew Brees has some busted up ribs. Alvin Kamara, you know, you need him to be healthy. So if you get any kind of a lead or, you know, Carolina, I don't know. If you're checking the score at halftime again, and you know you're locked into one of the top couple of seeds. If for some reason the Packers were just bludgeoning the Bears, I think you could see Sean Payton wave the white flag and just get out of Dodge with minimal injury. So that would be another reason to take the Panthers. I'm trying to think, let me do the math real quick. So let's say the Packers win, the Panthers win, and the Seahawks win. Yep. That means, do you think the Saints are concerned about falling to the three seed at all?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can kind of game out who you're going to play aside from, you know, even now, 6-7 eight, you know, I guess, because the team is going to get eliminated, we don't know who it's going to be. So right. You try to like, you know, massage your way into playing the Rams because they have John Wolford. Well, the Rams could be out of the playoffs. Do you try to avoid Mitchell Trubisky? Well, I don't know that he should be that worried about the Bears offense, even though they played well. They played a lot of bad defense.
If you're worried about avoiding Mitchell Trubisky, maybe you're not the Super Bowl team you hope you are.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think you try to game it out too much and try to wiggle your way into one specific scenario.
I guess I'm just wondering if the Saints are, if you're the Saints, do you feel like you need to, because, I mean, in all likelihood, let's say you get the two seed, you know, it's basically going to be the difference between going to Seattle or Seattle coming to you if the seeds hold. I mean, that's a pretty big difference.
You always love to play at home if you can. If you can just mark your choice down and say, this is what I want, take the higher seed. But it's all a trade-off. You know, do you risk guys getting hurt? Do you risk, you know, do you take extra rest because you don't want to get a bye now if you're the two seed? So you take your rest this week. It's just, you have to balance all these things and figure out what's best for your team moving forward.
Okay. The Bills and the Saints are really interesting to watch. If they come out and try and play full force and still struggle, because I think the Panthers and the Dolphins are difficult matchups for them. I'm curious to see how those teams in the 2 and 3 spots play it. I think Seattle will – well, no, the Saints could still get the one seed though.
Yeah, they could if everything breaks right. But it's a little bit different situation because Pittsburgh's already said they're resting people. So if you're Buffalo, that's the team you're competing with. You can feel fine resting people, you know, knowing
– or you play a half and just see if
whatever. You can, yeah. If you're on the other side, the NFC, everybody's playing all out. So you kind of might feel you have to do it too.
Yeah. So Seattle – if Chicago has to beat Green Bay. If Chicago beats Green Bay and Seattle and New Orleans both win, then the Saints get the one seed, the Seahawks get the two seed, and Green Bay falls all the way down to the three seed. If, and this is where it's funky, if the Bears win and the Saints win, but the 49ers upset the Seahawks, the Packers stay as the one seed, the Saints are the two seed, and the Seahawks are the three seed. And if the Panthers beat the Saints, the Seahawks beat the 49ers, and the Bears beat the Packers. Saints are 3, Packers 2, Seahawks 1.
I've got something, since we're about to move on to this game, I've got something for narrative Bill Brinson that I'm sure he's going to want to talk about through the rest of the week. So you just mentioned Packers could fall all the way down to the 3 seed. Could the Bears get to the 6 seed with a win? Like, if could you possibly have a Packers-Bears rematch in a week in the playoffs? I don't know if the Bears can get that high.
The answer to that is – wait, could the – yes, yes. In fact, if the Rams win, the Bears win, the Panthers win, and the Seahawks win. So that's a situation where Seattle gets 1, Green Bay goes 2, they would play the Bears as the 7 seed.
So how crazy would you go from Packers thinking you're going to get the bye? You know, you only need just one of a few things to happen. Instead of getting the bye, now you're rematching the Bears who just beat you in their home, you know, a week ago. That would be pretty awesome game to see that game.
It would be. I always think back, and I mentioned this on the podcast a few times, but like when Marvin Lewis sat all of his guys against Rex Ryan and the Jets, and they lost 37-0 in week 17, and then they played the Jets again in the wild card and lost. And it just feels like it's a bad idea to let somebody else in the playoffs and then have to play them. And I'm not saying the Packers would do that. So the Packers are -5.5 at Chicago. If Chicago won and they ended up playing each other in the wild card, what would the line be, do you think?
In Green Bay, I think you'd make it probably at least, even knowing that they're coming off the loss here, I think you got to make it at least 6.
Okay. Speaking of the Packers and the Bears, Packers -5.5 at the Bears, the over under 51.5. I got to tell you, I think I'm going to make the Packers a best bet. I think they are rolling right now. I think Mitchell Trubisky understands how important this game is and kind of poops his pants. And it's not really a great matchup for the Bears because Jair Alexander is playing fantastic football and he'll, I guess they can move Allen Robinson around, but you think he'll see plenty of Alexander. And I think the Packers get the pass rush on Chicago and Aaron Rodgers locks down MVP and blows out the Bears in this spot.
I would lean to the Packers. Chicago's offense has been on fire, but they play a bunch of awful defenses the last 4 weeks. And the game before that was the Packers game, and they had no problem carving up the Chicago defense. The Packers did. It was 41-10 heading into the fourth quarter. Then Chicago packed on a couple meaningless touchdowns. This total predicts it's going to be the expected total here is a 28-23 based on the over-under and the line. I think Green Bay gets over 30 for the sixth time in 7th week. So that's another reason why I like the Packers. I don't think Chicago's an awful team. I'm not going to say Packers are going to blow them out. I just think Green Bay is too good right now to be stopped. So this line seems fair. I would still lean to the Packers though.
Okay. Yeah, Packers are a best bet for me. Three more games left. Ravens at the Bengals. Ravens minus 13, over under 44.5. The Ravens need to win this game to get in the playoffs. And I have an inkling they might do that.
Yeah, since he's been feisty to close out the season, two straight wins, but Baltimore's D is a step up from whatever Houston did last week. I don't even know if you can call that a defense. That Baltimore run offense has looked unstoppable lately. It could be another 27-3 type of game. This is what the final was earlier in the year. But with Brandon Allen playing well last week, I think this game can get to the over. I would lean to the over. If one side of your ball is going to pack it in and it's going to affect the score, I think it's more likely to be the defense as far as motivation goes. So I think Baltimore could get to 40 in this game if they need to. So I would lean to the over, but I don't love it. Just hard to know what to expect from Cincy in this game.
Okay. I would lean towards Baltimore. It's a lot of points, but the Bengals are terrible at stopping the run. We saw David Johnson go nuts on them last week, and their defense isn't good. They scored a bunch of points, but that's because the Texans' defense isn't good. The Ravens are stomping out bad football teams, and this is sort of a spot where, you know, if you're Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, I understand the Bengals have played spoiler in the past, but they have to win to get in the playoffs. And this is a perfect matchup for you. You can run the ball down their throats. I think Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins, and Lamar Jackson all hit their over on their rush totals. It doesn't matter what the weather is. You don't have to pass the ball. Just go out there, run the 2019 Ravens offense, crush this Bengals team, and get into the playoffs. I think they win by 2-3 scores easily. So I'll take anything under 14, certainly as a best bet for me on the Ravens. Jaguars at the Colts. Colts minus 14, over under 50.
Yeah, can't leave the points with the Colts coming off that collapse versus Pittsburgh. Can they shake that off? I mean, this is the right team to do it against. Jacksonville's lost three straight by at least 21 points. Can't see the defense showing up here for Jacksonville, but that Indy defense has given up its fair share of points too, giving up 20 plus in six straight. So I think the Jacksonville offense, if it can get to 20, this game is going over. I would lean to the over, and they might only need to get like 13 or 16 and it goes over because Indy could also, you know, roll over this Jacksonville defense. So my lean would be to the over, but I just can't, I'm not comfortable laying 14 with Indy the way they've been playing. So I'm going to stay away from the side.
Yeah. I'm my buddy Garrett and I have a bet on the Colts to make the playoffs. Looks pretty good Sunday around halftime. And now all of a sudden it is on life support and we need Philip Rivers and Mike Glennon, by the way, two NC State quarterbacks, Jacoby Brissett. I mean, this is my favorite game of the week.
Brinson Bowl.
The Brinson Bowl. That's right. I can just see Mike Glennon hitting a rainbow bomb to beat the Colts and then Philip Rivers throws a pick and all of a sudden my world's upside down. I don't think you can trust the Colts to just blow this team out, but I do love the over on Jonathan Taylor rush yards in this spot. I think he'll go nuts against the Jaguars. I do think Indy will take care of business, but they're the sort of team where they feel comfortable and they shouldn't after last week against the Steelers, but they feel comfortable squatting on a 17-point lead and letting their defense do work and then just running the football. And that should be concerning because then the Jaguars just come through and hit a late touchdown and they, you know, they win by 10. Also, this team beat the Colts in week one. So, and put them in this position in the first place. So that is a tad, concerning.
If you get swept by the Jaguars, you don't need Blitzer to be in the playoffs. I don't care what your record is. You could be 14-2 if those two losses to the Jaguars.
If the Jaguars only two wins of the season are against you, you shouldn't be in the playoffs. That seems like a fair bet. I don't even like the idea of really teasing, like, because there's some teams out there you could do a 10-point teaser with, but the Colts, you just feel like they could beat the Jaguars by a field goal, and then you're just not feeling great about Indianapolis in the playoffs. So I don't know. It's a stinky game. I agree with you. The over is a possibility here. The Colts could score a defensive touchdown, and the Jaguars could get, I don't know. Let's just stay away from this game. I'm just going to hope the Colts win, and so one of these other teams loses, so you know Indy can get into the playoffs. Finally, Falcons at the Bucks. Bucks minus 6.5, over under 50.5.
I got a best bet on the Bucks. Arian sounds like he's playing his starters, should have success against a subpar Atlanta defense. Tampa Bay's offense is 6th in red zone success rate. Atlanta's defense is 28th. So expect touchdowns in this game from the Bucks when they get to the field into a, you know, red zone range. Atlanta had Kansas City on the ropes last week, but blew the game. Will they show up here? It's hard to rally back from that. I don't think Raheem Morris thinks he's getting the job now with how this team has closed out the year, but they are the last place team in the NFC, 16th ranked in terms of record, but their point differential is -1. So they've actually played closer to an 8-8 team than a 4-12 team. So not really that fair. If you look at it through that lens, maybe they're good enough to hang with the Bucks. I just don't know that the motivation factor is going to be there. And this is a better spot for Tampa with them playing their guys. So best bet, if you can get it under 7, love the Bucks. We get it at 6.5 here. So I'm taking a best bet Bucks.
Yeah, I think the Bucks are a really good spot here. They want to run up the score on some teams. I think they want to get hot going into the playoffs. And I don't think Bruce Arians, they played so well against the Lions. And I realized the Lions were short, as Kenny pointed out, 5 or 6 coaches, and they're terrible on defense. Well, the Falcons aren't that good either. I mean, I'm sorry. They try hard for Raheem Morris. They're not that great. And I do think that Tampa Bay wants to be hitting its stride going into the playoffs. You know, you're still working on the rapport with Tom Brady, Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. They're getting there, but you get these reps, these extra reps at the end of the season. You lob up a blowout in Atlanta, and all of a sudden you go into the playoffs with 2 big wins, and you feel like you can really make some noise. So I'll take the Bucks as a best bet as well. And I'm going to add that into the sheet. And now it's time to point out that we're short one game on the podcast parlay. We have the Steelers, the Titans, Texans over. We need one more game.
Yeah, I think we all kind of were in favor of the Seahawks 49ers under, and I think we were all kind of leaning toward the Jets. So if you want to take one of those two and throw it in, I think that could be our third leg.
Jets are disgusting, but sure. I mean, God, the Patriots suck. They're bad.
Prisco and Kenny both had Jets as a best bet. I lean to the Jets. So if you were
comfortable. Ebo says go Jets. Jets, Jets, Jets. Fine. The Patriots look so obvious, but they're – you're right. I thought Kenny's point was great. Like, playing for Bill Belichick is probably awesome when you're winning 12 games and Super Bowls at your site every year. Playing for Bill Belichick when you're 7-9 or 6-8 or whatever they are, and you're trying to just get the season over with, and there's a pandemic going on, sounds pretty terrible. And people are talking about how bad you are. Ugh, sounds awful. So we'll go Steelers plus 10, Titans, Texans over 56.5, and the New York Jets plus 3. Is that right? 56.5 too? Yeah, I got that right. Yes. All right. That's the Pick 6 podcast parlay. Speaking of parlays, we hit so many of them early in the season. Haven't since they created the Pick 6 podcast parlay. Pick 'em contest open from Tuesday through Sunday. You pick 5 teams against the spread. We give you $1,000. That's our guaranteed giveaway every week. Odds provided, of course, by the William Hill Sportsbook. Go to cbssports.com/parlay. And as we do every week, I will pick 6 teams. RJ will wipe 1 off the board, and you can use my parlay or come up with your own. Either one is perfectly fine. Here are my teams. RJ, you ready?
Go for it.
Packers -5.5. Buccaneers -6.5. Ravens -13. Washington -1.5. Pittsburgh +10. And the Cardinals -2.
Okay, so I like the Packers. I was a little shaky on the Ravens with all those points, a little shaky on Washington. And I think there was what was the one you said right before that?
You have Packers, Packers, Buccaneers, and Steelers, I think are all you like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's you're basically have to pick one of Ravens, Washington, or Arizona. Are you Cardinals or one of your best bets?
Yeah, I like Cardinals.
So it's either Ravens or Washington.
We're looking at Ravens or Washington. I'm going to say, there's the odds are too great that Taylor Heinicke is playing in that game. So I'm going to take Washington out.
All right. Look, Baltimore. I mean, Baltimore can curb stomp the Bengals easily.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of my best bets last week at -11, and it wasn't remotely close.
Right. I'll take them out, and it'll be 17-3, you know, 2 minutes into the second quarter. And I'll be like, yeah, that's a winner.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. All right. That's the Pick 6 podcast. That is the parlay pick'em. William Hill odds. You can go to cbssports.com/parlay and put your own in. Try to win $1,000. Again, Packers, Buccaneers, Steelers, Cardinals, and Ravens. Here are the best bets for week 17. Pete has the Texans, Eagles, Steelers, Jets, 49ers, and the Raiders, Broncos over as he tries to catch RJ, who has the Giants, the Buccaneers, the Panthers, the Chiefs, the Cardinals, and the Minnesota Detroit under. Kenny White sitting on a big old pile of picks as he makes a run too. Dolphins, Bills under, Steelers, Jets, Patriots under, Lions, Texans, Titans over, Cardinals, Rams under, Chargers, Chiefs under, Washington, Eagles under. That's a lot of unders for Kenny. I think it could be an under week.
Yeah, you like to go unders in the divisional rematch games. It's harder to gauge that with the motivation here. So I did like a few overs because I think some defenses might give up in some of these games. And, you know, some offensive guys want to put some numbers on the board heading into the offseason. So I was a little more leaning to the overs, even knowing that divisional rematches, you kind of want to go unders. But Kenny's right in that trend.
Okay. I've got the Buccaneers, the Ravens, the Packers, the Cowboys. What could be wrong with that? The Washington football team. And was that it? Sorry, I'm double checking to make sure I didn't miss one. Oh, the under in Seahawks 49ers and the over in Titans Texans. All right, I kind of like this. Under Seahawks 49ers, over Titans Texans. I like both of those. All right, that's it. That's the show. First show of 2021. How does 2021 feel to you, RJ? Different than normal?
Yeah, it feels very different, which I can gauge now because this is Wednesday when we're recording this and it doesn't start for another 2 days. So I can definitely tell you from firsthand experience, 2021 is way different so far.
You know, some podcast hosts are good at organizing and, you know, talking and being coherent and not going on tangents, and others can go into the future. So you tell me, what do you want? Somebody who can time travel or somebody who's good at their job? I don't know, RJ. You tell me. Just kidding. Thanks as always for doing this, buddy. Really appreciate you. Happy holidays. And let's close out the week. I hope you beat Pete. I hope Pete loses to you. Be playoff time next week, buddy. See ya.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.